Hello everyone, you're listening to the first edition of the RotoViz Season Review Podcast. My name's Colm Kelly, you can follow me on Twitter at Overtime Ireland. On today's edition of the show, we're going to be discussing the NFC South and looking at the good, the bad and the ugly of what has happened in the division in 2017. I'm joined on today's show by my co-host for this episode. It will be Anthony Amico, who you can follow on Twitter at Amixton. I'm looking forward to it. We'll have 8 editions of this series, one pair division, and we'll be going through them one by one. And we have a team of hosts that will be involved, and of course myself and Anthony up first. Delighted to be able to join him on the show. Anthony, how have you been keeping, my man?
I'm doing pretty well. How about yourself?
Doing good. I just want to say for listeners, in case there is some pitchy audio on my side here, I was having some technical issues as we started. Hopefully it will all come out smoothly, but some skips on my side, that will be completely down to my fault. Hopefully it won't take away from your enjoyment. But I've been doing good. Obviously, we have gone through week 7, getting ready for the wild card weekend, and of course, a lot of excitement if your team's still in the playoffs. My team's in the playoffs, and I know a lot of the listeners in the playoffs, but we're going to look back at the season and maybe look ahead to next season may go with some of the teams in all the divisions. We have a multitude of hosts that will be doing the show, and I'm glad the opportunity to have Anthony on with me today. Today's show is brought to you by our friends over at the FFPC. Anthony, why don't you fill the listeners in on some of the great stuff the FFPC has got going on?
Our friends at the FFPC have the longest-running and most unique playoff contest in the fantasy football universe, the FFPC Playoff Challenge. It's $200 to enter, with a $100,000 grand prize and a $600,000 total prize pool, paying all the way down to 550th place. I've never played a contest like this before. There's no salary cap. There's no draft you have to worry about. Just choose 10 players to make up your team's roster, but there is one catch. You're only allowed to use one player from each NFL team. So, for instance, if you choose Tom Brady to be your quarterback, you cannot have any other Patriots on your roster. That's your roster for the duration of the entire playoffs, including the Super Bowl. There will be no changes, substitutions, or free agent pickups once rosters are locked. And, of course, as NFL teams get knocked out, so will your players. So choose your team wisely. The contest is capped at 3,500 total entries. It sells out every year, so make sure you get your entry in now. Registration will close Saturday, January 6th at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Don't wait. Go to myffpc.com and get your team right now. That's myffpc.com. Get your team and end your season with a bang.
Yeah, the FFPC are always fantastic here to also RotoViz and RotoViz Radio, and the work they put in and the competitions and these they run are always of the highest standard with the highest level of competition. So this one should be another fantastic one. A very interesting prospect of basically team trying to predict who is going to make it all the way through to the Super Bowl and then see how those guys can go. And the thing is, you know, you mentioned there is one player per team. So even if you pick the two teams to get to the Super Bowl, you're only going to have one player on each lineup for that. So it's a fascinating way to look at it. And I love just playing in different leagues, different format. One that I'm looking forward to putting right into. So we're at the NFC South. And first up, we're going to do it in terms of rank throughout the season. So the team that won the division was the New Orleans Saints. And they had they did win the division, but they did finish tied with the Panthers at 11-5. And with that, they won a tiebreaker. So Saints, they just had a really, really strong season, very strong at home, 7-1 at home, 4-4 on the road, and then in the division, I mentioned the tiebreaker, 4-2 in the division. So a hugely successful season, I guess, from the view. Obviously, we had Alvin Kamara, Mark Ingram really dominating the season, Drew Brees, while people are talking about him probably not a year of any sort, but he did finish with the 72% completion on all of his passes this season. That is the highest in NFL history, so I guess we have to say that was quite good for him. He's now has 4 of the 10 most accurate seasons in NFL history, including 2017, he had 2016, he had 2011, and 2009. So were you impressed overall with how the Saints rolled this season?
Oh, yeah, I mean, you have to be. And, of course, it starts with the changes that they made on defense. A couple of rookies at corner, Lattimore and Crowley, they've been tremendous upgrades for them. Of course, some of the other players on the defense have played better as well. But this team has almost changed its identity from where it was a year ago and really just over the past few years, where they've been really, really pass happy, really having to score points to stay up in games. And the defense has stepped up a lot this year. I think that this team has made some really good progress. And, it's weird because I think that coming into the year, we could have maybe said, maybe this is the last year for Brees. Maybe this is the last year for Peyton if they, have another one of those 7-9 or 8-8 seasons. But they're rolling right now. So I'm pretty excited to see what they do in the playoffs, especially.
Yeah, I mentioned as well with Breeze that he also passed the 70,000 yards passing. He's only the third quarterback in NFL. With that, we had Peyton Manning and Brett Favre to do it prior to him. Michael Thomas now has the most catches through his first in NFL history. He has 104 catches on the season, 1,245 yards, 5 touchdowns. The 5 touchdowns is probably the most disappointing part. He did have quite a number of touchdowns this season due to either penalty or due to maybe not getting in the end zone or bounce at the back of the end zone. So could have been a lot more. I thought he had a really, really nice season. Broke the first record for catches this year. And player, well, pretty much no player has done what he's done through his first 2 years in NFL. He tied Odell Beckham for the receptions over the first 2 years, and are actually with the receptions. Jarvis Landry did hold it previous 96 over the first 2 seasons. That was broken now, obviously, by Michael Thomas. And Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara both topped 1,500 yards from scrimmage in the first duo ever as running backs in the same team. So you can't really talk about the Saints without talking about the run game. And you know, we know what Mark Ingram can do, but I'll come into this in the draft, obviously, come in as a rookie. They had Adrian Peterson there. They traded him away to the Cardinals, but we have to just... I've been blown away by what Kamara has done. When he came in, I thought he would be good. I thought he would catch the ball out of the backfield, but I really... I guess nobody could see then just as how good and how dynamic he is.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that he would have a receiving role, but I kind of thought that that would be it, and I didn't expect it to be this extreme. I mean, he's been... You know, they lost Brandon Cooks in the offseason, and I think that was leading to questions of, you know, who's going to be the number two receiver in this offense, and it ended up being Kamara. I mean, he was second on the team in target share, 19%. I think that's just absurd for a running back. We'll talk about another running back in this division that was also able to be a tremendous receiving weapon. But, I mean, what he's done, not just as a receiver, but also obviously as a runner, and certainly the trade of Adrian Peterson, I think, helped to loosen, oil the wheels a little bit on that. It's been incredible, and I was like dead wrong on Kamara. I mean, I kind of thought he'd be a specialist. I didn't think that there was any way he would be this good in the run game, and I was dead wrong. So, I mean, hats off to him. He's been phenomenal.
Yeah, and you look back to Week 17. If you're listening to this just shortly after it came out, we're recording this just wildcard weekend, but at Week 17, that... an off return or a punt return that he took back touchdown in Week 17, but literally looked like he was just sidelined and he was just running away from the defender. So the athletic ability that Alvin Kamara has is incredible, and I look forward to seeing what he does in the playoffs and years to come in the NFL. To the Panthers, obviously we have to look at them and come to 11-5 as well. There was a point during the mid part of the season with the Panthers and looked like they were playing bad, looked like everything was kind of not going their way, and then all of a sudden you look up at the and they have 7 wins, and I got off guard, and then they would go on with 11 wins in the season. They did lose in Week 17 to the Falcons. Overall, this team has got the wins, but they haven't been impressed in pretty much any outside of rushing yards per game. If you look at their total yards, they're ranked 9th in the NFL. Passing yards are 28th in the NFL. The rushing NFL, so that's obviously impressive. The other thing that's impressive from them is their percentage, which is 7th in the NFL. But looking through every other kind of statistical degree, they are, tour. So this is a team that's kind of really in the mid to out of the NFL. Nothing really elite. Have you been surprised that this team has got 11 wins on the season?
Maybe I'm surprised about 11, because I think that's a little high, but I'm not surprised this team is good. I mean, they still have good players on defense, most notably Luke Kuechly. I think that pretty much any time he's healthy, the Panthers are going to threaten to be a great defense. But they've just been really inconsistent. The stats that you mentioned, those basically are the averages of what they've done this year. But if you look at the highs and the lows, this is a team that scored over 30 points multiple times this year. We know that Cam Newton has had some really great games. And then you kind of, the foil to those games are the games like they played against Chicago, where they scored 3 points and they had, they basically gave up all the points on offense, through turnovers. They've had a couple games like that. The game against Atlanta, they didn't really show up. Cam had 3 picks. So, the lows for Carolina, particularly on offense, have been really low. But the highs are still really high. So I think that this team can certainly threaten with anyone in the NFC if they get hot and they can kind of sustain. But the upside, I think, with a guy like Cam Newton at quarterback, with someone like a Christian McCaffrey who could be dynamic, Devin Funchess, like, this team definitely has the pieces to be exciting, and they've done that multiple times this year. They just need to be able to get a little bit of consistency going forward.
I mentioned there Cam Newton, and he had a career high this year in attempts. He rushed the ball 100 times. He had 754 yards, which was the 23rd in the NFL, so a really good statistical rushing year from him. The passing game, as I mentioned then, you kind of touched on it too, had its peaks and valleys. Newton isn't known for his passing ability. He was second in the league as well in yards per carry. He had 5.4 as his average, and that was second only till Alvin Kamara, who was 6.1, who we mentioned a minute ago. So throughout it all, they have been up and down, as you mentioned. There has been some bright spots. Devin Funchess had a nice season overall. He had 63 receptions, 840 yards and 8 touchdowns, and this was his third year in the league. If you look at his first two seasons, he had 54 catches for 844 yards and 9 touchdowns. So did what he did in his first 2 years in this one season. So a nice jump forward from him after the trade away of Kelvin Buffalo Bills. And then Christian McCaffrey was 14th overall in the league with 80 receptions, one behind Alvin Kamara for the most among rookies. So we have had a lot of hype around Kamara, and he has been getting in the end zone. Christian McCaffrey then started the season a little bit slower maybe, and he hasn't had much rushing work on the ground in terms. But when you look at what he's done, you know, the way we talk about Kamara, I think Christian McCaffrey as a rookie deserves a little bit more credit. Do you feel in the same way?
Oh,
as that?
I totally do. And I'm kind of hoping that McCaffrey in particular is going to inspire this, you know, new brand of running back. I mean, certainly not everyone is going to be as skilled as McCaffrey, but I really like the diversification of the usage, 117 rush attempts versus 113 targets. I kind of think that that's what you should be doing with running backs. I mean, these players, you know, in the passing game are really difficult to cover. You have to decide, you know, are we going to cover them with a linebacker? Are we going to cover them with safety? You know, are we going to take guys out of the box? Because then what if they run the ball? I just think it gives a lot of headaches. And, you know, McCaffrey, I know that, like, the yards per attempt rushing really hasn't been there. But he has still been someone that teams have had to game plan for every single week. If he got to the end zone a few more times, I think that we'd be talking about him a lot more. He still had the 5 touchdowns receiving. He still led this team in targets and in target share with 113 and 23% respectively. I just don't think that there's enough that can be said here. And I think that a lot of the stuff that we said about him, you know, at RotoViz in the pre-draft process last year has kind of come to fruition. I think that he's going to be a long-term PPR running back one.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think, you know, too, a lot of the time when people come in and they're dribble, what the talk is in the pre-draft pro, what the expectations are. You know, if we switch the roles and Alvin Kamara was in, you know, expected to come in first round, have a big season the way he did, I think we'd be a little bit quieter on him. It's just that Kamara wasn't expected to do as much, especially with Adrian Peterson there at the start of the season. And then Christian McCaffrey, there was such high hopes for him coming in and people expecting it to happen straight off the bat. But in the second half of the season, particularly sketch and roll, I thought he'd done a really, really nice job there. And you mentioned, you know, his yards per carry. Everyone on this team outside of Kelly struggled to run the ball. Jonathan Stewart had 3.4 yards per carry, which was the lowest of his 10-year career. You know, he himself had a lot of injuries, and just this run game never got going. The offensive line had its issues all season long. You mentioned, you know, the people at RotoViz been up high on Christian McCaffrey in the off season, and no, RotoViz is a sports data and analytics site that publishes over 1,000 articles per year, and is a suite of more than 3 apps. You can go to rotoviz.com and check out the site and all the great work that all the guys are putting out. You know, the off season, but there is no off season here when it comes to fantasy football at RotoViz. And you know, with the season being over, it's still the real perfect time, because if you dive into the information at this stage, by the time we get to September when we're all drafting, you'll just be ready, set to go. So you can get yourself a discount to the RotoViz Radio Podcast. That is 30% off a subscription to a RotoViz NFL Pass. The discount is for listeners of the podcast only and is available through the NFL Podcast homepage. That is rotoviz.com/podcast. Your subscription has access to all our NFL content and tools, and best of all, it helps support the pod. Again, be sure to get your 30% discount on NFL Pass at rotoviz.com/podcast. So next up, we're going to the Atlanta Falcons, a team that obviously had a kind of fourth quarter in the Super Bowl this time last year, but they are the only team in the NFC that has made it back this year to the postseason. Incredible to see out of the 6 teams, only one makes it back in, so good to see some faces in there too in the playoffs. But the Falcons winning in Week 17 against the Panthers to guarantee that they... But obviously the big talking point going into the Super Bowl loss, and then of course Kyle Shanahan going to the 49ers, Steve Sarkisian, coming in as the new offensive coordinator. The season did start as a struggle for them, but it improved as it went on, but there was huge differences between their 2016-17 numbers in terms of pretty much all categories. They scored nearly 100 passing yardage was down, rushing yardage was down, forced downs were down, pretty much everything was down. What did you make of the chain Kyle Shanahan to Steve Sarkisian overall and the effect it had on the offense?
I mean, there was just no way that they were going to be able to replicate what they did last year. Huge outlier season. I think that I pretty much expected that this was going to happen, where, like, obviously the Falcons were going to do worse. That's just math. Like, that was bound to happen. I'm not really sure I'm ready to blame Sarkisian. I mean, are there some things that he could have done better this year? Probably. But I mean, he's certainly thrown the ball to Julio Jones, you know, more in the red zone than I think we've seen in the past. I think that he's gotten plenty of opportunities, granted only 3 touchdowns. But like, I think for all that we've said about Sark and the difference between him and Shanahan, like, that's not the difference in them being the team that they are now. I think that this is just who they are. Like, this is who Matt Ryan is. He's average. He's above average. You know, he's not great. He's not elite. You know, and last year he caught the wave and he rode the wave all the way to the Super Bowl. But, you know, I think that if you look at his career numbers, this is a lot more reflective of kind of who he is. So I'm not ready to blame Sark. I know that certainly he's been bemoaned a little bit between last year at Bama and this year at the Falcons. I'm not saying he's perfect, but I mean, I think that this is more on the players that are on the field.
I definitely agree. And of course, you mentioned with the kind of just the regression, what they did last season, the seventh best scoring offense in NFL history. I think it was always going to be mid down to the change of offensive coordinator. But Matt Ryan had a year. Remember, like, Cam Newton 2 years ago had a monster year, got to the league. We've seen the same last year then with Matt Ryan. And, you know, them players then tend to come back down a little bit. And even though he hasn't had a tremendous season by any accounts, he has still had an above average season. And I think when you look through what the team is, there's just going to be a couple of dips in there. The offensive line last year was absolutely incredible. This year, a little bit of a drop-off. We've seen Freeman miss a few games. We've seen Coleman miss a few games. So there just hasn't been that consistency all around. So I think there's just a lot of things that go into it. And it's very hard when you have a historical offense to get anywhere close to that again. And Julio Jones this season, over 1,400 yards. The first NFL receiver to ever have 1,400 yards and score 3 or fewer. There's been 83 players that have had 1,400 receiving yards in the past but have 3 or fewer touchdowns off that. So I think next season we can be pretty confident that we're going to see him probably find the end zone a few more times. These things tend on themselves a period of time. So anything else to add on the Falcons as we move?
Yeah, I mean, I just want to make a couple more statistical points. Like, I think that, first of all, you mentioned Julio. I mean, I've seen some early first round projections for next year in terms of fantasy, and I know it's really early, but I've seen a lot of, you know, projected first rounds that leave Julio Jones out. And I think that that's going to be a huge buying opportunity for fantasy owners. Like you said, the 3 touchdowns is the most variant statistic we have in the sport. And obviously they, you know, affect a lot in terms of the scoring because they're worth 6 points. But they're the things that we can really control the least. The 1,400 yards by Julio is fantastic. I think that's why we should be buying. That's a guy that we want. And just one more point on Matt Ryan and kind of the whole Sark thing. You know, last season, the 9.26 yards per attempt that Matt Ryan posted were by far the best of his career. The second best was actually his rookie season, only on 434 attempts, 7.93, a huge drop off. But what he did this season, 7.74, would actually rank as his third best season efficiency wise. So I'm not really sure that we can say that Sark is to blame for the offense when he's actually already gotten more out of Matt Ryan than we've seen from him over the course of his career. So just one more thing, I think, to keep in mind when discussing the offensive coordinator change and you know, Ryan as a player.
Yeah, and, you know, I mentioned the 1,400 yard stat a moment ago. Just for a receiver, when they go over 1,400 yards in terms of touchdowns, it's 10.7 touchdowns in the season. So we mentioned there Julio at 3. So even if he kind of comes to, you know, the average next year, and if he gets 1,000 yards again, you know, he should be having 6 or more touchdowns. The other player, you mentioned the possibility of him being outside the first round. I think that would be an absolute bargain, you know, especially if you're picking at the back end of the first round and you can have him and then double up with somebody else. But somebody... 2 receivers in this division that I'm definitely going to be targeting a lot who had low touchdown totals this season. The other one is Michael Thomas, who we touched on already. He's with 5 on the season, and I think next season I'm expecting that to be much, much. And, you know, you mentioned it's too early maybe to be talking about 2018 drafts. It's never too early, Anthony. We can always speculate, because I don't think it can ever be too early when we're looking at it. So moving on to the division now, and we're talking about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Buccaneers this season, they just, you know, we talked earlier about, you know, the being inconsistent. The Buccaneers had some good games, but they were pretty much bad all season long. I don't know if you have any more positive stuff, but, you know, Mike Evans, a lot of people had him pegged for huge things heading into the season. Join now a group of wide receivers reaching 1,000 yards, you know, receiving yards in his first 4 straight seasons in the league. So he joins guys like Randy Moss, he joins AJ Green. He's had an incredible first 4 years in the league. I kind of got called out on Twitter for criticizing him this week, but not that I don't like Mike Evans as a player, I just find that He's such a big-bodied receiver. He tends to catch the ball and fall down. There is a lot of differences, I guess, between him and certain players, but it just kind of reminds me of a better version of Kelton. I'm probably going to get a lot of criticism for that, but how do you feel about Mike? We're probably getting... I don't know what way you're going to feel about it.
Oh, I mean, I'm a huge Mike Evans fan, so this is a good...
the opposite side of
the
spectrum.
This is a nice little debate, I think, for us to have. I mean, you mentioned what he's done in his young career. I just think it's really impressive, and I know that he's been... inconsistent, in terms of the seasons that he's produced. He had the big rookie year, and then, second year he kind of stepped back. Then last year he was really good, and this year he kind of stepped back. But, I think that we need to start looking at the quarterback and the coaching, to be responsible for this. And it's a little difficult, I guess, to see when you just look at Evan's statistics because, he's been on the same team all 4 years. There's, we're still really, I guess, establishing what his mean really is. So it's difficult to say really what we should be expecting. But, I mean, just look at the guy across the field from him in DeSean Jackson. I posted this on Twitter earlier this week, but if you look at DeSean Jackson's efficiency in terms of racer, which is the the efficiency metric that Josh Hermsmeyer has come up with, his racer in Philly was 0.68. His racer in Washington was 0.75. But his racer this year in Tampa was only 0.46. A really huge drop off from what we've seen from him over the course of his career, and not a huge change in average depth of target, 15.9 this year. 14.9 in Washington, 14.5 in Philly. So not a huge difference in terms of like how he's being used, but a huge difference in efficiency. And I think that points out to the QB play of, Jameis Winston. Obviously, we saw a little bit of Ryan Fitzpatrick in there. I just think that this team has not been great under center. And maybe some of this is to be blamed on Dirk Cutter, who as an aside, I'm very surprised that he came back. But I'm not really sure that we can blame Evans for this. He's consistently been with Jameis, towards the bottom of the league in terms of catchable balls thrown his way. I'm just not, I know you mentioned like he kind of catches the ball and falls down, but I think part of that is that he's catching a lot of passes very far down the field. So I'm not out on Evans yet. I'm still buying in dynasty leagues where I don't have him, and certainly in redraft next year if he slips. I'm willing to buy because, the ceiling is still high. He's gone double-digit touchdowns twice in 4 seasons. I think that's something that that's a ceiling that we need to always be targeting.
Yeah, no, I enjoy the debate, and I'm going to get into it in 1 second. But just when you mentioned Jackson, he finished the 2017 season with career lows per game, 47.7 yards per reception, 13.4, and his longest reception this season was 41, lowest of his career in terms of longest in a season. And his PPR, or points per game, finished this year was wide receiver 49, so a really down year for DeSean Jackson. When you mentioned Evans, I do agree with you. I think some of my feelings on Evans is based to Jim, who I just think, if you look at Blake Bortles done in his first couple of years in the league, I think there's a stark similarity in terms of turnovers, in terms of mistakes. I don't know if there's a more mistake-prone quarterback in the NFL than Jameis Winston. Do you think that being tied to Jameis is a good thing long-term or a bad thing? And you mentioned as well with Evans, a lot of it I tend to think, and of course he's a number one wide receiver, so he's going to get the target volume, but this year he had 24% of the targets, 15th among all players. But if you look at 2015, he had 29%, which was 7th, and then 2016 he had 30%, which was from the league in terms of percentage of the offensive share. So the reason why you think that dropped this season by 5% of his second lowest total, and been tied to Winston long term, is a concern for Mike Evans?
The target share thing for me is just simply that they added more players to the offense. I mean, they got DeSean Jackson in there, they drafted Chris Godwin, they drafted O.J. Howard, so I think there's just a little more mouths to feed than previously was present. So that, I think, for me, accounts for the difference in targets. In terms of Jameis, I mean, there is something to be said for having an established floor of quarterback play, and I think that Evans probably has that with Jameis Winston. And I'm not a huge fan, and certainly, we're not even really sure, I guess, necessarily if the Bucs will hold on to him. They're going to have to make that decision fairly soon in terms of an extension. So if that happens and he gets extended, then we're looking at Evans long-term basically being with a guy who's, 7.5 yards per attempt, which is not bad. I mean, I think that's pretty good. That's sustainable. That's something that I think gives Evans a nice floor. I certainly want some of those balls that are being thrown like out of bounds or over Evans' head. Like, I'd like for some of those to find his tremendous frame, because I don't think it should be that difficult to hit someone his size. But I think that the floor of quarterback play is a positive. And that's actually been something that, when I look at Mike Evans, You know, this is going back to really before this season, but when I was looking at, you know, someone like Mike Evans versus someone like Odell Beckham, who came from the same draft class, you know, it was kind of giving me some pause and some reasoning to maybe prefer Evans, because I know that he'll have that stable quarterback play. You know, we'll see what the Giants do in the draft this year. They can kind of get the next, you know, the next Eli or the next great quarterback in there that can buoy OBJ's production. But I think that, you know, when you look at the dynasty, you know, realm of receivers, certainly Antonio Brown has some concerns with Ben Roethlisberger being a retirement threat. I supposedly really any time, you know, OBJ is losing Eli. I think that there is certainly something to be said for, you know, having a young quarterback in Winston.
Yeah, no, I definitely I think it's a very fair point, and I always enjoy getting different people's perspectives. Opens up my mind as well, but I have concerns around Jameis long term. But I just have a stat that's popped up onto me here, and it's about Alvin Kamara. So we're on the topic of the NFC South. I think it's fair enough, and I want to see. He's the first running back to score over 300 PPR points in a single season and have fewer than 150 carries. You know, how do you think he's managed on 120 carries to end up with over 300 PPR points?
Well, I mean, having 80 receptions certainly has something to do with it. But I mean, just tremendous touchdown efficiency.
Even with those 80 receptions, and 100. So he's at 200 touches, but he's at those 300 pieces.
That's incredible. But I mean, if I could just make this note, not to add controversy to the end of the podcast. But I would not be drafting Alvin Kamara in the first round next year, and I have a feeling he's going to be like a top five pick in a lot of leagues. So
I talked earlier today with Adam Rank for the Overtime Ireland podcast, and interestingly enough, that he's touting Alvin Kamara as the number one overall pick next year. So if he has that platform over at NFL Network, I think you could be definitely a top five pick based on if people start talking about him in that.
There we go. We'll have to have Adam on or something to rule it out or something when we get closer to draft season.
Yeah. Let's have a debate. So we've kind of gone through the four teams, but is there anything else that you think, any other general thoughts in the division that you want to share?
No, I mean, I just think that this was the best division in football this year, and I didn't really think it was particularly close. Just top to bottom, you know, obviously you have the three playoff teams. I thought all three of those teams, I think all three of those teams are in position to potentially win the NFC. It wouldn't surprise me if any of those teams were left standing. You know, and certainly the Bucks disappointed this year. I think that they were a very popular pick to win the division. You know, but they do have the talent.
They got that preseason hype with the Hard
right.
Knocks
oh,
series.
The Hard Knocks kiss of death, right? you know, but they have the talent to bounce back, and, you know, we'll see kind of what becomes of them. But this division just has so much talent. I'm really excited to kind of watch what goes on going forward.
Yeah, since this has been the best division in football, not in football, there has been, but this has been consistent over the last 3 or 4 years. And, you know, I was quite surprised at how kind of developed their game this season, obviously going with the run game and their defense and thing that we probably didn't expect in the offseason. We probably thought they were going to run, taking in Adrian Peterson, but the way their defense developed has been, I've enjoyed watching, and obviously that has been able to adapt their game, their run heavy style, and kind of try and take a little bit of pressure off Drew Brees. No, his arm's probably not up to doing it in 17 games straight, but if you get him into the playoffs and you're behind and you need to score, I think Drew can certainly still do a job for you. So you mentioned as well with you know, the three teams, and you wouldn't be surprised if one of them goes on to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl. Is one in mind that you really think strongly about that we could see in the Super Bowl?
The Saints, for me, I think, are a really strong candidate. I mean, the ability to run the football, you know, in the playoffs, I think is great. And you mentioned what kind of how they've handled Brees. I think it's incredible what they've done to basically be able to make Brees a game manager. And then in the situations where they need him to play, he just like turns it on into Hall of Fame mode. And he is just like ready to go like that. It's just a really great dynamic. And of course, you know, when you have the two backs and Kamara in particular, that can do so many things, that they're really tough. And with the improvements on defense and the issues that Philly is probably going to have at quarterback in the postseason, I really like the Saints.
Yeah, I like the Saints too, so I think they would be my pick out of these three if there is a winner from them in the NFC. I think for me, the NFC will come down, I think, to you know, the Vikings, the Rams, and the Saints. So it's going to be good. It's going to be competitive. It's a lot more competitive in the AFC side of things than, or in the NFC side of things, sorry, than the AFC. And when we look at it as well, I think this division has been the most competitive on the year. So looking forward to seeing the next couple of weeks play out and who wins it all come the end of it. But for today's edition of the RotoViz season review. It's a fun show. I hope you all enjoyed listening in, enjoyed talking with Anthony about all that there. And we're going to have 8 of these in total. This is the first one, so we've 7 more to go. There's going to be myself and Anthony. There's a couple other guys at RotoViz Radio that you'll be used to hear in your earbuds, and you'll hear them in the next couple of weeks. The plan is for 1 to 2 shows each and every week, all the way through to the Super Bowl. So looking forward to hearing those myself. Not on, and obviously I'm looking forward to recording a couple more of them. So that's going to do it for him. Kelly, you can follow me on Twitter at Overtilland. My co-host today on the show was Anthony Amico. You can follow him on Twitter at Amixta. Make sure you check out the rest of the review series, and of course, thanks for tuning in. Thank you for listening to the RotoViz Season Review. Please rate and review the RotoViz Radio podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. You can contact us via email at rotovizradio@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter at RotoViz Radio. And remember, you can always support the pod by subscribing at a 30% discount through the RotoViz Radio homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast.